recently I was down at Soldiers Beach car park and this guy rocked in with a hotted up Kingswood. It was lowered and it had oversized fat tires. And as he was driving out just before one of the speed humps, he absolutely lit the back end up. He sat there for what seemed like an eternity, smoking his rear tyres. Within seconds, the car became engulfed in blue-grey smoke, and of course, every eye was on him. I was walking up from the beach, up the car park, and as I walked past the tyre marks on the road, for a moment, I just stared down at all that rubber smouldering on the road, and I thought about the futility of what that guy had just done. It occurred to me that this is exactly how many people live their lives. So many people spend their lives spinning their wheels. There's heaps of noise, heaps of smoke, lots of attention, but very little movement. They don't actually achieve very much at all. I mean, you think about it. The car is designed to move people and things from one place to another. That's ultimately its purpose. The tyres are designed to help achieve that purpose. They make the motion of the car as it achieves its purpose safe, comfortable, and efficient. A good set of tyres, well balanced and aligned, will last for many tens of thousands of kilometres. Yet in just a moment, that guy wasted maybe half the life of those tyres. We can do the same thing with our lives when we fail to see the purpose of our lives and when we get off mission. A little while ago, someone came to me with a business proposal. It was a really good idea. It's a great idea. And it will, in my view, definitely make a lot of money for this guy. And on top of that, the fruit of this business will also bring great spiritual blessing to many people. He was offering Louise and I a chance to be involved in this thing. We could do it basically in our own time. And the work would be enjoyable and actually very much related to our ministry of what we were doing. Louise and I went to bed both feeling that we would probably take his offer and get involved. Throughout the night, however, God spoke to us both separately. It was so good in the morning to say to Louise, "I'm pretty sure God told me in the night that we weren't to get involved. Even though it was a good idea, even though it would bless many people for the kingdom of God, it was not our mission. And to get involved would take us off mission." It was really great to hear Louise say, "I think God told me the same thing." This morning, as we continue in our study of Paul's letter to the Philippians, I want you to think very clearly about your mission in life. What has God called you to do with your life? And are you on mission? Or are you off mission? Peter Drucker, the business leadership guru, says we always need to ask, what's our business? And then, how's business? So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. In this passage, Paul describes the Christian life as being like an athlete's race. Not looking backward, we are called to strain on to reach the prize. He says in Philippians 3, 7, he says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you sat down in a private space with an open Bible and an open heart and ask the Lord how you were doing spiritually. Have you ever done that? Have you ever evaluated your life and asked the question, Lord, am I just spinning my wheels? Am I burning up lots of energy, making a lot of noise, producing a lot of smoke, but not really going anywhere? That is a really hard conversation to have with yourself and with God. But it's one of the most important conversations you will ever have. This is what Paul is doing in this passage. He's taken an honest, long, hard look at himself, and he's realized that he has not yet arrived. He realized that he has not yet achieved everything that he ought to have achieved. His love for God is not as deep or as meaningful as it should have been. At one time, Paul would have proudly declared that he was blameless, that he had achieved everything that could be achieved by the standard of the law. Now, however, he evaluates himself not in the light of his own human achievement, but rather he evaluates himself by the standard set by Jesus. And he quickly realizes just how far short he falls. Paul admits that he's not yet become mature in his faith. He knows he has a long way to go, and he wants the Philippians and us to do the same. He gives us an image of an athlete with every muscle straining to win the race, to gain the prize. In using this image, Paul gives us three ingredients necessary for victory. The first one is this, that there has to be concentration and purpose in our life. In verse 8, he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And then in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Did you get that? But one thing I do. Knowing Jesus and being found in him is the one thing for Paul. And it should be exactly the same for us. Knowing Jesus Christ, nothing will ever compare. Nothing will come close to that. Knowing Jesus and being found in him, there is nothing more important than that. Yet we can spend all of our effort and energy just spinning our wheels on everything but knowing Jesus. Right now, I want you to ask yourself this tough question. Is that the focus of my life? To know Christ and to be found in him? Or is your effort, your concentration, scattered across a whole range of things where knowing Jesus is just one of many aims? And it's certainly not your priority. There are so many things which aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they are simply not the most important thing. In preparing this message, I asked myself that same question. And I asked myself, what are the things which throughout my life have proved to be a distraction from this one thing, knowing Jesus? What are the things which now I treat very cautiously? What are the things which I will not allow to have priority in my life? If I'm honest with myself, there was a time when making money and climbing the ladder of success, of career success, was more important than my relationship with Jesus. I have decided I will not let making money or advancing my career take precedence over my relationship with Jesus. There have been times when leisure, me just having fun, held a higher priority than knowing Jesus. There was a time when going for a surf was pretty much more important than anything else. I can clearly remember Louise, this was a long time before we were married, saying to me, where were you tonight? How come you just didn't come to church? And all I could sheepishly say was, I was at the beach having a surf. Where do you think I was? There have been times when I really wanted to escape the accountability of connecting with other Christians. I wanted friendship and all the benefits that came with friendship, but I didn't want people holding me accountable for my relationship with the Lord. So I avoided those relationships and formed relationships with people who really weren't going to bring me closer to Jesus, but would rather let me stay as I was. Nowadays, I'm very careful about my close relationships. I always ask myself, will this relationship keep me on mission to know Jesus and to be known by him? These are hard questions to face. But as I said to you before, these can be some of the most life-changing and some of the most important questions that we can face. Paul continues, this is verse 13, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. We've got to rid ourselves of anything that would slow us down in running after Jesus. Paul warns us to forget what is behind. This is so important. If you're a Christian, then your sins have been washed away. Everything that you have ever done wrong, everything that you ever will do wrong, has been completely washed away. In God's sight, thanks to Jesus, you are clean. Yet despite this, our memory still has a record of what we've done. And our enemy Satan will use this against us. You know, one of the ways that Satan loves to get at us and to slow us down is to replay the tapes of past sins and failures in our minds and in our memory. This can really get you down. It can really make you feel worthless and useless, and it can slow you down big time. Paul says that we're in a spiritual battle. Well, this is one of Satan's classic tactics. Don't let him play the tapes back to you. Jesus has paid for that sin. It is dealt with. Don't let the memories of your past ruin your future. Satan will flee at the sound of Jesus' name. When the tapes start playing, simply pray for protection, rebuking Satan and reminding him that Jesus has dealt with those things. Don't let Satan have a moment's victory. Don't give him one day, not one hour of precious time in reliving the past. The writer of the Hebrews says, this is Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, it's so easy to get entangled in sin, and we have to be so careful that we don't get caught up in the trappings of this world, the things that can so easily take our focus off of everything that God has called us to. You know, there's a classic old story, which I know I've told you before, and I know that people question the veracity of this story, but it's a great story, and it illustrates this point so well, well, I think so, that I'm going to tell it to you again. There was a great Mughal emperor who lived in the 17th century in an area today known as Agra, a city in northern India. The emperor loved his wife dearly. Unfortunately, she died, and he was so heartbroken that he took her body in the coffin out into a nearby field and declared that on this site, a great building would be built to house her body. That building is the Taj Mahal, one of India's most famous ancient buildings. Some of you may have visited the Taj Mahal. As the story goes, the building took a great many years to complete, 17 in fact. During the building process, the emperor became consumed with the details of this magnificent building. He spent much of his time there supervising the work and ensuring that everything was done really, really well. One day he tripped over a dusty old wooden box. Angrily, he told the nearest workman to throw the old box away. It was months before he realized that this was, in fact, his wife's coffin. He had thrown her body away without even realizing it. The very reason that he was building this enormous, elaborate building, which required the work of some 20,000 men to complete, was to house and honor his wife's body. but now it was lost. The reason? Very simply, the emperor lost sight of the focus of his energies. We can so easily fall into this same trap. Once you become a Christian, your life's focus changes. You no longer are you the focus, but Christ is now to be our focus. Do you remember what we've learned over the last couple of weeks? Our status has now changed. When you become a follower of Jesus, your status changes to slave, servant of the King. And all other priorities are to be put aside for this one thing, to know and serve Jesus. So what are the things which can slow us down? Well, there are two groups of things which can hold us back and slow us down. There are good things which slow us down when we allow them to become priorities in our life. And then there are bad things, sin. Sin is always going to slow you down in your walk with the Lord, and we need to deal with both groups. Sport is a classic. It's a good thing. Some of you are really good sports people. You have a God-given talent, but don't let that hold you back from the most important thing, knowing Jesus. Still play sport, obviously, but the most important thing is knowing Jesus. Some of you may be really artistic or very musical, another God-given talent, but one that can distract you and hold you back from the most important thing, knowing Jesus. Remember, it's not what you say yes to. It's what you say no to. Because you've got to make so many decisions to say no to things for your yeses to be really, really strong. So it's what you say no to that matters. Maybe you're really bright academically. You rip in exams and you always do well at school. There's pressure from everywhere to do really well, to really make something of your life. Your good brain is a gift from God. Use it well. But don't let it hold you back from the most important thing, knowing Christ. These things are not bad in and of themselves, but they are not to be the priority of our lives. Family's another. Now, you know that I believe that family is very, very important. Your family has to be a priority in your life, but it should not be the highest priority. Career is another. I've spoken a lot about that already. But what about service? What about ministry to others? Serving others should be a priority, but it must not be the highest priority. Oh, I've seen so many people pour their lives into serving Jesus without spending any time in actually having a relationship with Jesus. You know, on the other side are the bad things, sins, which will always slow you down. Any sin will hold us back, particularly though, sins like greed. Greed will take your focus off Jesus and onto money and things. We can spend so much time and effort chasing things. Selfishness. Being self-centered is another sin that will prevent us from chasing after our goal to be like Jesus. Sexual sins. This is a huge one for some Christians. Sexual sins will stall your growth as a Christian. When you sin sexually, it's like trying to run a race with your shoelaces tied together. You won't be going anywhere fast. Paul says we need to get rid of anything that will slow us down. Finally, Paul says, we must put forward continual effort if we are going to win. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We must decide what we want, put all our energies to obtaining it, and then stick to it. This passage speaks of energy, diligence, discipline. It deals with bringing every energy to bear in serving God. Now, this is a difficult thing to really understand because we're not called to simply work hard. We're called to let God work through us, but we still have to work. Some people piously say, I'm just letting God work through me, or I'm letting go and letting God, while they sit back and do nothing. That's not actually in the Bible, by the way. We need to remember that when God works through us, he works us. When God works in us, we build up a sweat. We need to work hard at being able to be used by God. We read in 2 Timothy these words about living holy lives so that God can use us. This is 2 Timothy 2:20. He says, "In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." When God works in us, we build up a sweat. We need to work hard at being holy vessels, available to be used by God. And that flows directly from making knowing Jesus the priority of our life. How do we do that? What are the things which we should focus on if we're to make knowing Jesus a priority in our lives? Well, there are a number of things, but I want you to look at just a few of the corporate things with me. We can get some idea from looking at the early church. Have a careful look at this verse from Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:42 says, "They," that is the believers, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, what we now call the New Testament, they devoted themselves to studying the Word of God. Can I encourage you to make coming together on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever you regularly meet with other believers and sitting under the Word of God an absolute priority in your life? Make searching and living in the Scriptures part of your daily life. Make being part of a small group and attending that group whenever it meets a priority in your life. Make fellowship, meeting together, loving one another, caring for one another, worshiping together, doing life together, a priority in your life. I want you to notice that it says that they devoted themselves not to fellowship as an idea, but rather to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship of believers. If your husband or wife turned up at home once every couple of weeks, would you call them devoted? You wouldn't, would you? In fact, you'd probably start asking questions about the health of your marriage. The studies on church attendance from all over the world tell us that many believers attend church services about once every 3 weeks. You may be one of them. You may be one of the millions of Christians who turn up to church once every 3 weeks, once a month, once every 5 weeks. Don't be deceived. You are not devoted to the fellowship. Now, please realize, I'm saying this in love and from real concern for your spiritual well-being. Don't be deceived. Paul calls the fellowship of believers the body of Christ. And the Scriptures call us to be devoted to the body, to lay our lives down for one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another. You cannot do that effectively when you are absent the majority of the time. And if you are one of the millions of Christians who do not do that, you are clearly the very opposite of that. You love Jesus, you love his church, you are devoted to the fellowship. Let me encourage you today, keep it up. Keep persevering, keep pressing on towards the goal. Next, Luke says that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. This is about fellowship as well, but it focuses the fellowship idea. Breaking of bread refers to celebrating the Lord's Supper together. When we do that, we together remember what Jesus did for each of us. And we remember what it is which binds us together. We remember that which gives us unity. Finally, they were devoted to prayer, to praying for each other and with each other. Paul says, this is verse 14, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Pressing on toward the goal indicates that It won't be easy. At times it will feel like a grind. You won't feel like coming under God's word, and you won't feel like living out devotion to the fellowship. At times you won't feel like praying for and with each other. Yet this is where you will find the one thing which Paul strives after, knowing Christ. So in conclusion, you find Christ in his word and with his people. You find Christ in being united as a band of sinners, rejoicing in the goodness and the grace of God. My prayer today is that we would ask the hard questions of ourselves. Are we pressing on toward the goal of knowing Christ? Is it the one thing in our lives which takes priority over everything else? Or are we spinning our wheels, just like that Kingswood at Nora Head, making a lot of noise, producing a lot of smoke, but really going nowhere at all?